Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Dave Stoop and your phone call.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Dave Stoop here in this April wonderful spring day.
It's about time spring arrived.
Yeah. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope the thunderstorms in your life are manageable. And if not, you can always call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got so many people waiting. I want to go right to the calls, and I want to talk with Catherine from Thousand Oaks, California. KDAR is the station. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. How could we help you?
Okay. I'm going to try to condense this into like 20 sentences or less.
That never goes well for us, you know.
But go ahead and try.
Yeah, give it a shot.
I'm a woman. I talk too much anyway.
Hey, Catherine, I got an idea. Why don't you just start? Don't condense anything. Start with a question. Just state a question.
And then we can fill in.
All right. My question is my husband has a pornography problem. And evidently this problem existed before we got married. I didn't really know much about it.
Catherine, this is... Whoa! Can you hear me? That's what I was seeing if you could do. I don't want a story yet. We'll get to that. I'm just curious. Can you ask a question first, and then we'll get into it?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I will ask the question.
Ask a question.
My question is that I have some knowledge of addiction and alcoholism and all that.
That's not a question.
I understand that pornography is an addiction. I have absolutely no control
over
my husband.
Catherine, you did it. I'm just trying to do a little thing here. Can you just ask a question? Ask the question first.
All right, I'm sorry. my question is should I leave my husband? Should I stop having sex with him? Where and how do I get the knowledge and the courage and the wherefore to confront my husband and to
deal with this?
What do I do? I love him so much. It's affected our sex life. It's totally affected our sex life.
Does he know? I'm having sex with my husband,
but it's like he doesn't want me, and I know that there's absolutely nothing I can do. I can never be beautiful enough. I can never be pretty enough. And it's like, how do I not participate in this addiction?
Catherine, does he know that you know?
Huh?
Does he know that you know about this?
Yeah, I've confronted him a couple of times. He's sworn off of it. We've done the crying, begging him, promising, I won't do it again. It's very dramatic.
Catherine, we have a solid...
My question is, how do I skip to the end of the story?
Well, here you go. We've got an answer for you. And I hope that you'll hold on because we're going to give it to you. So hold right on there. You're listening to New Life Live. And, you know, many times people call with this same situation.
Yep.
And we want to help you go reclaim your marriage, reclaim your husband.
And I love the way she put it. How can she skip to the end of the story?
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, before we go any further with our Flashback Friday program, I want to remind everybody some of the most valuable stuff we do, it's in the workshop. You just find a way to get there, do whatever it takes. Life will never be the same. Every man's battle. We've got intimacy in marriage coming up. Restore for any woman.
whose heart's been broken from sexual integrity problem from a man. And then, of course, we've got our New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom. Whatever you're struggling with, we can help you. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Catherine has a husband that is probably addicted to pornography. He certainly got a pornography problem, and they've talked about it, and she's pleaded, and she wants to know what to do to get to the end of the story. So, guys, what do you think?
Well, Catherine, I was going to ask you: we know that he's been caught, he's confessed, he begs and he pleads, says he'll never do it again, and all that. But has he entered into any kind of process to get help?
He went to talk to our pastor like twice.
Well, that's not enough. I mean, it's good to go talk to the pastor. What did the pastor tell him to do?
I think something like, exercise more, try to reduce your job stress, trying to find some hobbies or something like that.
Wow.
But that won't work. I know that.
No. Wow. Okay, Catherine, first of all, let us speak to you because you know, there's a lot you said in there about you couldn't be beautiful enough and you couldn't be this enough and it's interfering with.
And I know that. And I'm at the point where I don't want to bother to try.
Well,
you know?
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But
because it's not about you.
My sex and my loving is very special. And I deserve to be treated like good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Amen. We agree. But
totally
wait.
Agree. So, here's the question. What does he have to do to become the person that you and he need for him to become? And it's not just try to depend on willpower and promises and all that kind of stuff. What he does is he needs help.
He needs like a 12-step program.
He needs
like
something like a recovery program where he sees this as a problem that he has and that he would have no matter who you were.
Exactly.
And that it is a problem inside of him. And he's got to go fix it. So what you would do well to request from him, say, look, you know, I want us to have a great relationship, but I can't share you with pornography. And I can't ever become anything other than who I am, and I love you, and I want you, but this is up to you that you've got to go get healthy. And so what I want to see is I want to see you involved in that process. And so he goes to counseling,
so
and he goes
in
to
one
a
ear and back out the other. I've had conversations with him like that.
Well, what are you willing to do to enforce your desire for him to get help?
Oh, man, that's the question. I guess I'll have to stop having sex with him so I don't catch a VD in the end or something like that, and then I'll have to, threaten to leave him, I guess.
Well, now, hold on a second.
I have to put my own affairs in order before I can confront him.
Is there another person involved?
As far as I know, there's not, but there could be.
But you're afraid it could go that far. Yeah.
I mean, so far I just found him, you know, like some disgusting videos and books and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, it won't matter what I do to try to stop him or spy on him or whatnot. And,
well, you know this.
Keep my head from going there, but that's like impossible.
You know this, that he has a problem, so there's no need to spy on him. You know that he hasn't had the problem treated, so there's no need to spy on him. The question is, what can you do? Now, what I would recommend in a helpless situation like this is that you get in front of a counselor who can walk you through this day by day. Mm-hmm. Because this is not going to be a quick fix or an instant solution. But, you know, many times we come together with a counselor and they've got some really good things that we can go home and do differently. We weren't thinking about it. And little by little, things start to change.
Well, a good counselor can also be supportive to Catherine, and she's feeling very alone in this thing.
Oh, but you can tell.
But the way you approach him, Catherine, is you say, okay, here's the deal. I want you to do this, 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 this. You've got four or five things. One of them would be, once you get in a recovery group, you know, Celebrate Recovery or Sex, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you in a group. I want you to start meeting with some guys from the church and doing some Bible study and working on that. And I want you to, you know, to get into a 12, you know, a step group and all of that. You know, and you list four or five things. And if you don't do that, then you have a consequence. And the consequence says, then, you know, we're going to be celibate until you do, because I can't have sex with somebody who's being unfaithful to me in this way. And then if that doesn't work, you amp it up another level. But you've got to be willing to lose in order to win. That's the principle.
Yeah. You know, Hosea, of course, this was representing what God wanted to do for Israel.
But it's still
Hosea went back and reclaimed Gomer.
Mm-hmm.
Got her out of prostitution. And actually, she didn't totally make a break there. But he went and got her. And sometimes women have to go and get their husbands out of the sin. Now, they're not responsible. If he doesn't respond, it's not your fault. But mm-hmm. you have to make the effort to get them help versus get them to say, I quit.
And Hosea said to her, and you're going to live by yourself, and you're not going to have sex with anybody, and we're not going to have sex for a while either. Yeah. I mean, there's that in the third chapter of Hosea there.
Right.
So, you know, her saying, you know, until you get this thing dealt with, you know, I don't want to have sex with you. That's legitimate.
Totally legitimate. All right. Let's jump over here to Peter from Newark, New Jersey. WAWZ is the station. Hello, Peter. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. My question is, I've been married for going on 2 years in September, and my question is, how do I learn to give affection to my wife, even though I love her, and I do give her affection, but not as much as she needs and wants, and how do I learn to do this when I don't know how? It's hard for her to understand, but I didn't grow up in that kind of family where mom and dad were affectionate and loving to me, and I don't want to blame it on them, because that's not what I'm looking for, you know.
Well, it's not a blame, but it's an explanation. It's a diagnosis, Peter. A lot of times, you know, if you bought a car and you took it home and you reached up and hit the button, you know, for the air conditioner to go on, and it didn't go on, you'd wonder, okay, what's wrong here? And then you open up the hood, and there's no compressor. Nobody ever put it in there. See, that's not, you know, to blame something. That's to find a problem. See, sometimes people have the capacity and the ability, and they're unwilling. But you're saying that you're willing. You just don't. You didn't have all the know-how put into you. And so, if that's the problem, then this is a great thing, because you're humble and you're owning it, and you're working with her and you're telling her you want to. But what you've got to do is you've got to go somewhere where you learn how, you know, what it looks like for people to express caring thoughts to one another, and for people to be able to be vulnerable and to say, you know, sensitive things. You probably need a good group to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm having a very hard time. This is so hard for her to understand, and there's no way of me explaining to her what it is that, how it is that I feel, that these are things that I'm not withholding from her. Is that I just don't know how.
Well,
she doesn't get it, because she is a very loving and nurturing person, but I'm not. I just didn't grow up like that.
Well,
I didn't get it from my parents.
Peter?
And like I said, I want to blame my parents. I'm 36 years old.
Okay.
I'm late for that.
It's so great. It's so great that you want to learn this. What is the most nurturing thing that you do for her, or loving thing that you do?
That I do for her?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I do tell her I love her. I hug her. I kiss her. but not as much as she needs and wants.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Hold on. Earlier you said you didn't know how, and now you're saying you actually do these things.
I do them, but... Okay, let me explain something to you.
Is she wanting something that's unfillable? Is she wanting more than what's, you know?
No, I know that I don't give her enough. Like, I'm a very quiet person. I'm very happy to come home from work and have a quiet time. She's there at home, and I understand that. She wants to talk, and she wants, you know, the intimacy. And all of that, and I don't give it to her. I know that I don't. You know, it's not that she's asking for too much. It's that I know I don't give her enough. You know, I'm very happy to come home, give her a quick hug and a kiss, and that's good for me. And I don't know, she wants all these other things that I know. You know, I know women need and want, but
so you need to.
Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't grow up like that, right?
Yeah.
And now that I'm an adult, my mother tries to hug me and kiss me, and I cannot take it from her, you know?
Yeah, because
I don't feel like this with my wife, but this is something that since I didn't grow up getting from my mom, it just, now that I'm an adult, it bothers me that she tries to give it to me. And, you know, it's, I don't know, might let you in.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what I suggest to you, Peter. You got a good heart, and you're doing some good things. You got to stretch yourself. So you got to start doing some things that take you beyond your comfort zone, like when you come home. But here's another thing. You need to get with some older couple in your church that have a loving, you know, caring relationship. You and your wife need to kind of sit down with somebody like that. Because sometimes that can be just as powerful, even more powerful than counseling. And just talk to them about affection and how much is enough and how much isn't, or how do you learn to grow beyond it. And you and the husband can talk sometimes about that. But find a couple in your church that she agrees is, you know, really a caring, affectionate couple, older couple that have been married for quite some time. And then ask that couple, say, would you spend some time with us just helping us understand how you guys got to this place? We see you and we think this is great. And would you do that? And I'm sure they would. And I would do that with your wife so that she can ask questions she wants to ask too.
So it's really, it's kind of a marriage makeover. It's learning some things under the mentoring of an older couple.
Yeah, yeah. And because if the problem's not, it doesn't sound like it's a, you know, a deeply rooted thing. It's more a learning process.
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, that means he's got to get beyond his comfort zone, and she's got to come back from her comfort zone and kind of meet halfway.
Yeah, right. And I don't want to play armchair psychologist here because obviously we don't know them. But since I am one,
armchair psychologist.
Well, here's if I were sitting down with them, okay, what I would ask is, okay, you know, here's a guy who, when his mother, you know, starts to express affection towards him, he recoils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
now. Mm-hmm.
And now he's found that sometimes what he would rather do when he goes home to his wife is he would rather get away.
Right.
So there's some kind of getting away thing that he is kind of programmed into his head somehow, or been programmed into his head, that I think he's got to maybe somewhere sort out, you know, what is he recoiling from? And it may be the mother's power. Sometimes you see men who recoil do that. And if she's pushing and pushing and pushing for more and more and more, he is going to resist that even further. And the two of them need to find better ways to ask each other for what they want, where their family of origin dynamics do not get replicated. Mm-hmm. So enough for armchair psychology.
All right. Well, this might be a really good the mom factor.
Yeah, the mom factor would be a good one. And you know, Dave threw out a little phrase there. It was sort of I call it a throwaway phrase. You just sort of say it and don't think about it. But it's so loaded. What you said is that you guys need to go learn from an older couple. You know, sort of like go get mentored by an older couple in the church. Well, people might say, gosh, you know, wow, is that really, that just seems, okay, wow, what an idea. As if like that's some, you know,
new thing.
Unusual or new thing. But when you think about it, that's just God's thing. Because that's the way he set up life, mm-hmm. that children are to be mentored by older couples. They're called parents. Mm-hmm. But then that doesn't go so well. So then you get born again. We're going to take two here. We're going to try again. And you're born again into a new family, the church. And so there should be older people in the church mm-hmm. that mentor people who are born again into the faith. And that's what a church body is supposed to be
that's
doing.
That's right. That's the cross-generational
that's right.
stuff that's so important.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hope that's helpful to you with Cindy, the mom factor.
And send them Better Than Ever, too.
Better Than Ever, Dave's book on marriage. A free resource, 21 Beliefs of an Unhealthy Faith.
The gift of any amount, I will send you this beautiful daily devotional, 100 Days of Peace. It is a wonderful thing to have a piece of this scarce commodity in turbulent times called peace. Well, I'll tell you, when you have resolved the issues of life and you start to settle in to a peaceful existence, you kind of ask yourself, what has taken me so long to find where God wanted me to be? Here's 100 days, devotionals that lead you to where God has always wanted you to be. Our gift to you for a gift of any amount, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'll be back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Let's jump over here and talk to Brenda from Modesto, California. KADV is the station. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda. Oh, are you upset about something?
Yes, well, I needed some help or some questions answered. I don't know.
Okay.
Because my boyfriend, he's a minister, and we've been talking back and forth for the past 3.5 years, and he wants me to go to a counseling for being a pastor's wife, and I don't understand it, and I was trying to find, is there a biblical way of it, and I never heard that you go for counseling for a pastor's wife, but I do know you go for counseling for being a wife, but for as a pastor's wife.
What do you mean? Is there a certain program that does this that he wants you to go to, or?
That's what he's asking, and he hasn't proposed to me yet either. But we talk about marriage every now and then. He wants to, but he's not going to do it until.
Well, I've never heard there. I'm not saying there aren't any, but you know what? I would think, wow, what a great thing!
It's a great idea. Yeah,
what a great thing if people did have a program like that. Because having worked with a lot of people in the ministry, pastors' wives have one of the most difficult jobs, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, of anybody. I think that'd be a tremendous thing.
Well, I think that's
unless he's trying to mold you and shape you into something.
No, I don't think.
You know,
I think he's being. My sense is he's very wise. He knows the demands that are made on a pastor's wife, and
he's saying there's a lot of demands on being a pastor's
yeah,
wife.
And he wants you to be aware of that and make sure that that's something you want to do. And
that's exactly what he's saying.
I'd say, well, then let's set a date for our wedding, and let's set a date for our counseling. That's what I'd say to him.
You know, either get counseling where you know what it feels like, or go to work one of those people that cleans out portable toilets, all the sewage out of there, because, you know, you're going to have a job where you're going to feel like all I do is clean up after
one of those
people.
Dirty jobs.
Yeah, all I do.
I'm patient with it. I have a lot of patience and passion.
Now, well, do you go to his church?
Are you excited?
Yes and no, but I'm confused because he's saying we're going to go to marriage counseling after he proposed to me once we, you know.
Yeah, it's called premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm. Right, for the two of us, right, premarital counseling.
Yeah.
But he wants me to do this, go get counseling for being a minister's wife.
That would be part of the premarital counseling, I would think, you know. So Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it at all, Brenda. I think that's a very thoughtful thing on his part.
But when I ask the people at my church, they know one seems unknown.
Well, I've never heard of it either, but
I wish more women would do it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Brenda. I think that you have really got to, you know, be at one with him on wanting to join this calling, okay? And when you go into this counseling, then what you're going to find out is it's either something that really prepares you and teaches you and things you didn't know and helps you processing and get prepared for them, like Dave said, before you do it. Or you find out, wait a minute, what they're trying to get me to do here, that doesn't fit me.
Yeah.
And then you've got something to talk about either way before you go forward. So how can you lose?
Yeah,
he tells me I'm a virtuous woman. And I, you know, take care of the community. I'm always there for anyone that needs me.
That's
and I'm
great.
Pretty humble.
Well, boy, I tell you, after 3.5 years, if all I had to do was go to a little counseling and then that seals the deal, I'd just go do it.
I'd go do it. I don't see any problem with it, Brenda. I think it's a great idea.
All right, I'm going to send you a copy of Reframe Your Life. I hope that will help you. It really is a great book to help you take a second look at the situation and what's going on, especially if you're about to get married. Let's jump over here, and let's talk with, let's talk to Cheryl. How you doing, Cheryl? Cheryl, are you there? No, Millie. Well, we'll talk to Millie then. Humboldt, Texas. Hi, Millie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm 50 years old, have been married for 33 years. In my marriage, there's been alcoholism, drug abuse, rage, and I think I've dealt with those things real well. However, 3 years ago, I discovered my husband was committing adultery. And we did go to counseling for the first 6 months, but I found his adulteress's phone number in his cell phone again, so I quit going. And 6 months ago, I moved into my own room in our house, which is paid for, and I talked to him Saturday and shared with him how this is not a marriage. We're roommates, and I don't think this is what God has ordained that we needed. I wanted to go to counseling, and he said he doesn't need a counselor to tell him that committing adultery is wrong. He knows that, and he's not doing it right now, so get over it. And I'm not getting over this.
Well, you know, how sad that he is treating you this way. He broke a vow, and he's not willing to get help for breaking that vow, and he's not willing to try to make up for it, to, you know, make amends or to make restitution to you. It's just, that's so sad. I'm so sorry. What is your question for us?
Should I go to personal counseling? should we be in marriage counseling?
Sure.
Should he be in one-on-one? I don't know.
Well, I think probably all of the above, but I think for sure you've got to go together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a big breach here,
mm-hmm.
and you guys have got to get some help together, and he's got to see that there's more to it than just not, quote, committing adultery presently.
Surviving an affair. I'm going to send it to you.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Henry Cloud. Really glad you're with us here today. And let's jump over here.
Well, before I jump, I wanted to say one more thing to Millie. Was that,
okay. She left, but let's talk to her.
Yeah, but you don't go to counseling to be told that adultery is wrong.
Right.
He goes to counseling to find out why he would do such a thing. That's what she needs to tell him is, you need to come because we got to understand why this happened so that it doesn't happen again. Okay, now you can go on.
Okay, thank you, Dave, for clarifying. That's good. Cheryl from Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV is the station. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you gentlemen this afternoon?
Good.
Doing well.
Thank you for taking my call, and here's my question. My fiancé and I, we've been engaged for about 3.5 years. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Okay, all right.
You've been engaged 3.5 years,
and we delayed setting a wedding date because we said that we were going to work on our finances. And so since that time, I have become debt-free, and I have a pretty good credit rating and hoping to buy a house here.
Good job.
A little aside is that this is my second marriage, mm-hmm. and this will be his first. Now, here's my concern with my fiancé's finances is that in the past, he's been somewhat of a rebel as far as IRS is concerned. So he does owe some back taxes, and it's been about 3 years when he initially went to a tax attorney, and actually he's seen two of them. But he has procrastinated in doing anything about his taxes, and he hasn't paid any money towards that bill, which is rather substantial. So my question is, how should I handle this, and how much longer should I wait to see if he's going to do anything about the taxes? And because time is just ticking away here.
Well, you know, there are three agencies with three initials that I've made a rule, don't mess with them. FBI, mm-hmm. CIA, IRS. I mean, you know, I question his who he is to do anything other than.
I would guess that he's kind of rebelling on that as a way to stay a single man. I mean, that I would go that far.
Could
because
be.
That is a biggie, and you sure don't want to marry into something like that, especially when he's been, you know, putting it off for 3 years
well,
and letting the interest accumulate.
And, you know, sometimes they put people in prison for tax evasion.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we've talked about that, and, you know, and I've talked about it extensively to the point to where now when I bring it up, you know, he immediately puts a wall up. And so I do have a genuine concern as to whether or not I should even be thinking of marriage with him. So, but I just needed to have, maybe I missed something, maybe there was some other advice that I could give him or something else that I could do. I just feel like the relationship is sort of stagnant at this point.
Okay. Well, I question the relationship going forward based mm-hmm. on I don't think you have a man of character. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm overjudging him on this one little area.
Nope.
But also, I do not know anybody that's been engaged 3.5 years.
It's been a long time, and mm-hmm. so that's why I thought I would seek advice outside of my own thinking.
Well, let me ask you this:
thinking the correct way.
Are you having sex with him?
No. As a matter of fact, we have been celibate. Golly day! It's probably going on about 4 years.
And why do you want to marry him?
Well, you know something. As I was talking with my sister, I said to her, I do feel like I love him. I don't question that. But what I'm questioning is why I am continuing to put up with his behavior. And I said to her, you know, maybe there's something in me that I need to look at.
Well, Cheryl, is there other behavior? Is this like squeaky clean Abraham Lincoln, Billy Graham all rolled into one except for this one problem with the IRS?
Let's talk about some other red flags.
Tell me what the top four red flags are.
Well, okay, number one is the finances. Number two is his lack of trust. He seems to have gone through other relationships in the past and some childhood situations that have put him in a position where he just has a really hard time trusting.
He's controlling.
And so we have so that's a really big red flag with me, and I've tried to
say it again.
As best I could.
So when he's having a hard time trusting you, does he try to control you?
It is a control factor, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that's
that.
Two.
I wouldn't say
control.
Give us two more.
It's probably more control factory than control factor. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
And let me see, you said four.
That's two, yeah. That's
okay.
Number three
so
coming
that's
up.
That's two. Those are the top two biggies.
Those are biggies.
Yeah.
That I can think of. And honestly, I don't know if I've got a third and a fourth one, but those two are really huge.
Let me ask you something. What kind of healing process is he in to face the issues in his life?
He's not in any, and I've encouraged him to get involved with a men's group or
okay,
a mentor.
Okay, so he's not pursuing.
Mentor, but
he's not pursuing any health, right?
He's not. No,
he's
not.
On hold.
Hey, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Yes, sir.
Does the ring come off?
Can you
take the ring off? Yeah, I can't get my wedding ring on because I'm a little too much weight. But
I can put mine on and off.
Okay, why don't you take it off and let him have it back and. Say, you know, call me when you get these things in line and then you get into counseling and find out why you want to rescue somebody like that.
And, you know, here's the thing.
Because I want to make sure that I don't continue to do this if there's something on my part that I'm doing, I want to heal myself
there's
as
something
well
on
make sure
you,
that I'm not
there is
adding
something,
to
there is something
there,
on your
there
part,
is,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you want to get some help for that. But I bet if you ask 10 people, should I break up with a non-responsive, controlling tax evader? I bet all 10 would say, yes, you should.
All right.
And there's three of us here who
now,
agree.
Now, that's painful because you've invested a lot in this man.
And Cheryl, what you can do is invite him to the light. Say, look, you know, I can't go past where we are now until you come to the light. And coming to the light means that you deal with these issues and get into some counseling and really pursue health. And like, as you said, like you have done, get your financial house in order. That was hard for you to do, but you don't want to go into a relationship where you're unequally yoked in effort put out, right? You want to see him matching your effort financially, right?
Correct.
And so say, look, I love you, and, you know, as Steve says, it's not, you may be Mr. Right, but you're not Mr. Right now.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And
right.
So invite him to a process and see if he wants to come to the healthy side of the line or not.
Now, see, but I would invite him with the ring in hand. See, that was the part I was trying
but
to
what, say. But what, I like that. And what this
Dave's
does
in the drama.
He,
yeah. You know.
Well, he has some motivation. He has some motivation now. She's going to leave if I don't do this.
Yeah.
And so if he doesn't respond to that, then you've really answered a really big question. Mm-hmm. Does he love him more or does he love me more?
Right. Okay.
Okay. We're glad that you called. Let me send you. What would be boundaries in marriage would
finding Mr. Right.
Or boundaries in dating? What
yeah,
do you think?
In the book Boundaries in Dating, we have a chapter in there called "What You Can Live With and What You Can't." Because when people are in the dating process or the engaged process, you need to figure out what kind of things you can live with and what you can't.
Okay. What are some examples of things you can't live with?
Well, you can't.
IRS.
Well, untruthfulness, for one thing.
Control.
You know. Yeah. And when people do hurtful, disrespectful things like lying and betrayal and irresponsibility and all those things that form the foundation and the architecture of a relationship, those are deal stoppers. It doesn't mean necessarily forever, but today it does.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I've heard stories of men going to prison for tax evasion and the woman being still responsible to pay the tax back, and she's out here having to work for the IRS. Mm-hmm. I tell you, don't mess with things that have three initials.
Well, all of us work for the IRS, but she would have to do it even more, right?
That's right.
Not much left over.
It's scary. It's scary when you put the calendar to it. You know, whatever your tax rate is, you know, figure out what percentage of, you know, of 12 months that is, and you work for the IRS until like, you know, April, May, June.
Well, my rule is, here's all my money. Can you give me a little bit back? So
it's like that old 1040 said, here's how much you earn. Send it in.
Yeah, that's right. Good joke. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this for more New Life Live. The reason we're talking about the IRS is tax season. Get with it. Yeah, I've got to get my extension filed. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. You can call. You can go online. You can find out a lot of resources. We'll be back after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Artimer here with Dr. John. Dr. Henry Klein. What do I do that? It's just, oh my goodness.
They
I used to say it all the time. I know it. I'm not looking. So sorry.
Right. I must not have been making sense today or something. He keeps calling me.
You sound like John today, huh?
All right, let's
John will get me back for that one.
Let's go to Elisa.
That's right.
Modesto, California, KADV, Dave Stu, Henry Cloud, Steve Artimer. We're all with you here. Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question is, how do I, as an adult child, establish healthy boundaries with my dad?
How old are you and how old is he?
I'm recently married for 2 years. I am 27. So,
mm-hmm. How old is he?
He's like 55.
And what's the boundary issue?
Boundary issue, you know, just in general, he's having a really hard time letting go, and I find myself getting really annoyed with him. I'm like,
what does that look like?
Well, it's like he comes in and it tends to come in and dominate conversations, and I think he's used to me coming to him for advice and feedback, and then now it's like, you know, I don't really go to him for that as often now that I'm married, and
good for
so
you.
I find myself just constantly agitated, and it provokes a lot of anxiety in me, and I just
is he calling you too much and bugged with you and saying you're not coming around anymore, or what is he
no,
doing?
It's just more subtle, maybe like passive aggressive.
So have you told him, have you commented on this to him?
You know, I've lashed out at him.
No, that doesn't work.
And that wasn't helpful. Mm-mm.
Hey, you know what you might want to do?
No, what?
Well, I was having some problems with my daughter, and I went to her, and I said, you know, man, I've never been the father of a 17-year-old before. I don't think I'm very good at this.
Yeah.
So, you know what would be great is if you could say to him, hey, Dad, you're doing a crummy job of being a father to a married daughter. But you might want to, you know. But
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but maybe you kind of get the same thing by saying, Dad, I don't know how to be the wife of a man and the daughter of another man very well. And adult daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm really struggling, and I need your help.
Yeah.
And you might add to that, and it seems like you're struggling a bit with that, too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's good.
And,
okay.
And it doesn't have to be a big problem.
No.
Yeah.
What you say is, you know, you've always been Dad, I've always been your daughter, and now we're in this different phase of life where, you know, now I'm married, and you know, you're not sort of first in line anymore, and how do we do that? What do you think this ought to look like? We're going into a new season of our relationship. How do you think it would be different, and what are your expectations, and what do you think this should look like?
Okay.
And then it gets it out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It's probably hard for both of us to kind of adjust.
Yeah, because if you don't get it out on the table, the resentments will build, and he'll be confused, and he'll resent, and then, you know, you don't want to go that way. You want to clear it up.
And you know, it says to leave, but it doesn't say leave in disrespect. It says leave in respect. And there's a nice balance there. So he still gets to be Dad. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are welcome. And let us know how that goes.
What are you going to send her? What are you going to send her here now?
I'm going to send her Better Than Ever.
Oh, that's a good one.
Great little marriage book Dave and Jan put together. All right, hold on. We'll get it to you. You know, Dave, people that are around you at the conference you spoke at, the radio rallies, they said, you know, I was around Dave and Jan, and that little thing they do on the stage, they do that in real life. They banter back and forth exactly like that.
Well, we're just comfortable, you know, after all those years. But no, it's not quite like it is on the stage.
Right.
But we
How many years have y'all been married?
50 plus.
Unbelievable.
51 this summer.
Good deal. Well, you know, you are the living example of acceptance of each other, I think. It's just, you're so accepting of each other and safe.
And they're always come automatic. When you see them together, always.
But it didn't come automatic. It took a lot of work.
Yeah. And you eat out a lot, so I think that helps.
Yeah, that does.
Yeah, takes some of the pressure off everybody.
No dishes to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. No cooking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we're hoping that your marriage will last 51 years. Wouldn't that be something? Be great.
Mm-hmm. Be really good.
Be rare. How long were your parents married, Henry?
66 years.
66.
Wow, that's great.
Unbelievable. That's so good. Wow. Mm. Well, if that's what you want.
And they had an oops in about 40 of those, you know, because I'm only 26.
So. That's what I was going to say. You're only 26, so you came really late in their life.
They did have a midlife oops, though. I was not.
Was that you?
That was me.
That was you. Well, Jan was an
well
oops,
up
too.
There. Yeah.
I've kind of got a 19-month-old oops, but I kind of did it on purpose.
Well-planned
oops. Yeah, exactly. Who at 19 months said this weekend, he fell down and he goes, fell on my knee. He said a sentence. 19 months.
This and he turns and said, Dad, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, really.
Could we talk about that, Dad?
Yeah. And then he looked at an airplane in the sky and said, Dad, work. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Henry, for all you do. 21 Beliefs of an Unhealthy Faith is our free resource. Dave Stoops got some great books, and his latest is Better Than Ever. That's with his wife, Jan, and they do such a great job when they speak for us and in their writing. Just wonderful. And that's a book that will help your marriage be better than ever. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Hey, you know what? We can't do this without your help. And one of the most wonderful ways that you could help us is to join Club New Life right now. Would you think about doing it? I mean, what a great time to invest in a ministry that wants to restore and resurrect and recover lives to what God intended. If you'll do it, if you'll say, I'll support you at $30 a month, I've got 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness series that I'm going to send you. Everything from understanding and loving a person with chemical dependency, sex addiction, attention deficit disorder, borderline person, a narcissist. All of those are in there. Or you could say, give me the flash drive with the 71 teachings, or send me the flash drive with those videos from Mylon and Kay. And we just want to say thanks. And a gift of any amount, we send you Finding Peace or 100 Days of Peace. We've got so many great things going. As I mentioned earlier, our New Life Weekend is coming up, and it will help you. So if you're hurting or depressed or angry, this is a place where there's still hope and there's healing. And you find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com, where we tell you about every man's battle, men reclaiming their integrity because a woman reclaims her mate. That's what it's all about. So you wives, if you know he's struggling, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com and find out about it. Dave, some truth from God's Word here as we close out the program.
Well, some of our calls were asking for advice, and the psalmist has a beautiful passage in Psalm 25. He says, show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to walk. And then he comes down a couple of verses later, and he says, the Lord is good, and he's glad to teach the proper path to all. So, I mean, that's a promise we've got. We don't have to, you know, when you were talking about doing the next right thing, God's there to help us know what that is.
Okay. The Lord is good, and he wants you to find the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you find it is one step at a time. Putting his truth, putting him as the priority and nothing else. That's the way you do it. Even when it's painful. The biggest regrets of my life is I didn't suffer for the Lord because of a short-term wanting to feel better or unwillingness.
Yeah, we all have those memories. Yes.
So do it. You pay me now or pay me later kind of thing. We love you. We care about you. And we're going to be here again tomorrow on New Life Live. Be here Monday on New Life Live. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.